get to go to heaven. I was riding down the road yesterday, and I don't want to drive off, and I don't want this to be a sad moment, but I was listening to my papaw saying, boy, I miss him bad. I could use him so bad right now. I'd love to be with him, but I'm telling you what, I'm not like others in the world. I have a hope that one of these days I'm going to get to see him again, and I won't just see him. I'm going to get to see Jesus. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm never going to get tired. I'm going to eat donuts by the handfuls, and I ain't going to get fat. It's going to be so good. Man, I can't even imagine how good heaven is. I really can't. I've never missed a place so bad that I've never been. But I cannot wait to spend forever with Jesus. But I love other people, and I sure do miss them. And I say, I miss my papaw, but he didn't do for me what Jesus did for me. Ain't never been a man born like Jesus was born. Ain't never been a man that lived like Jesus lived. Ain't never been a man that died like Jesus died. And I'm telling you what, there ain't never been a man that got back up like Jesus did. And he's living right now for you and for me. But I'm telling you, in my heart and my desires of church, we preached last Sunday night, and we dealt with how to be an effective soul winner, a personal soul winner, things that you had to have. We see in Acts chapter 8 that Philip had when he was with that Ethiopian eunuch, and we dealt with those. And this morning, I want to continue down that path because I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. Amen? I want you to go with me. I want my loved ones to go with me. I want everybody I meet to go with me. I have never met someone that I didn't want in heaven. Jesus Christ did not make someone he did not want in heaven. It said it's not his will that what? Any man should perish. I don't care what false doctrines say. God made you and he will save you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But Mark chapter 2, we find here in verse 1, read with me. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Mark chapter 2, I think I said that right, verse 1. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, don't just pole vault over that verse. They tore the roof off the building. Can you imagine this morning if it was so full in here, we was just minding our business, worshiping the Lord, and we start seeing, and there's this stuff falling back there on top of Brother Duncan, Miss Duncan's head right there. And they just start low. If someone starts tearing the roof down at this church, I'm not saying there's a bunch of people in here with concealed pistols on them right now, but I'm saying Facebook, they might be. And I'd be real wary tearing the roof off this place because you might catch a bullet on your way in, amen, right there. I'd be a little worried, but these people wanted to get someone to Jesus so bad, they tore the roof off the building. Verse 5, when Jesus saw what? Their faith. Would y'all say those two words from the beginning? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of God hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to come together. God, I pray, would you touch each and every person in this building? God, would you take this word and would you use it for your glory? God, would you help us to be able to deliver what you've put in our hearts? God, give me the ability this morning to get it all out, and I'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I really don't know what the title of this, but I can tell you a few things. And here's the thought and the burden of my heart, that there's a lost and dying world right now that needs to know about Jesus. Amen. And it's our job to tell them about Jesus. It's our job to get them to Jesus. Hey, when I got saved, I got all of Him. Amen? And it's my job to get that to somebody else. And the same desire should be in your heart. We're sitting here this morning able to rejoice knowing that one of these days I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to get to see my saved loved ones again. I'm going to get to see Jesus again. And forever and always the rest of my life. Can y'all imagine eternity? I mean eternity. I'm not going to ask you this morning, but if you've lived over 80 years this morning, you've probably lived longer than the average person does on this earth. I don't know what the average age expectancy of earth is. I don't know that statistic, but I don't meet a ton of people throughout the day. Even when we look like in the nursing home industry, I work in that people get over 80 years old. That's a blessing to get there. But 80 years is really not that long. Would you attest to that this morning? Y'all remember when you were a kid and 30 was old? I used to think people my age were adults. I used to see them and think they had it all together. They knew what they were doing. And I figured out real quick, they didn't know what they're doing. The age, whatever seems like a lot to you changes over time. Let me tell you something, I'll never change. Eternity is a long time. And knowing where you're going to spend that time, I think that's pretty important. And to think that I know, that's not good enough. I don't want you to think, I think I'm going to heaven. There is nowhere in my Bible that it says you've got to think that. It says you can know that. But there's a few things you've got to have if you want to get somebody to Jesus. The first thing I find in this text, I believe you've got to have, if you want to get somebody to Jesus, is you've got to have some determination. You've got to be determined that you're going to get somebody to Jesus. At the same time with that, I see also you're going to have a desire to get somebody to Jesus. You know what's wrong with the majority of our church? What's wrong with the majority of people who acclaim to be saved by the grace of God? The reason that they're not leading other people to Jesus is they do not have a desire to lead someone to Jesus. Their desires are set on themselves. The Bible said in the last day that men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And we become a lover of ourselves, and I want what makes me happy, and I want to do things about me, and I need my me time. But I'm telling you what, I'm glad that when Jesus was on earth, He wasn't looking for His me time. Are you following that? Jesus was on the cross, and He was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His entire ministry was setting self aside to serve others. And if you want to be an effective soul winner, if you want your lost loved ones to get saved, you're going to have to set me aside and put God at the forefront. Now, you can't draw, you can't convict, you can't save. So what I mean from that, you cannot make someone feel that God is pulling them to Him. You cannot get down in someone's heart and let them know that the sin in their life is wrong. God has to do that. Where's an example of that in the text? You find when Jesus comes to the disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? They give Him a list. He's a good man, a prophet, and all these things. He said, Peter, who do thou say that I am? He said, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but thy Father which art in heaven. That's who let them know. When I got saved, there was no man that come by my way and said, you shouldn't do that. Because I can tell you over and over and over time again, you say, what about the preaching? Here's what I'm talking about. For years, I heard preaching. I haven't done the math on it, but I was in church at least 3 times a week, minimum, for 18 years. Yet my sin did not bug me. I was fine with it. And here's what I'm afraid of. Maybe this morning there's some people in here that you're born again. You come to church faithfully. You've been saved for a long time. Yet there's sin in your life and a man preaches against it and it doesn't faze you. But one day when I was 18 years old, I'm at Mountain Home Baptist Church. I do not remember what the preacher preached, but I sure do know what Jesus said. And He said, that sin in your life is wrong. and it's got to go. And the man preached, and God convicted my heart, and I got saved. It's not our job to convict. It's not our job to save. We can't save ourselves. The Bible says it's not of works. You know, being a good person will not get you to heaven. Do you know hell's not full of bad people? It's full of people that rejected Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And heaven's not full of good people, because the Bible says none are good. No, not one. And you can't earn your way there. So salvation's not something you control. But here's what you can control. You can have a desire to see somebody get to Jesus. And these people, they had a desire. He had a need. He could not walk. And four of them said, we're going to get him to Jesus. Now, with that desire, I mentioned determination. There's a few things that in your life you may have to do with that determination. First, I see that they carried him. They did whatever it took to get him to Jesus. I've said it before in the pulpit before, that there's nothing wrong. I do it on very often. I'll say, you come to church with me, I'll buy you lunch. Come eat me, I'll buy you lunch. I'm telling you what, a $25, a $30 lunch can't even touch salvation. Jesus Christ is worth a whole lot more than a couple lunches. The Bible tells us to go in highways and hedges and do what? Compel them to come in. You're going to have to carry them. You're going to have to compel them, if you will. There was an ailment that kept them from being there. And he said, we will do whatever it takes to carry you and get you to Jesus. I see also another distraction, or something you'll have to be determined through, is the crowd. Look back in our text, if you would, in verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Can you imagine if you drove up this morning, you pulled up and there's no parking spaces. The grass is filled with parking spots and the grass back here is filled with people parked. You walk up to the door because there's a line at the door and you come to figure out that's not a line at the door. That's where the people are going to stand for service. Because Jesus is in the house. And they said, there's so many people. Most of us would say, well, there's so many, we'll just go down the street. Let me give you something. There's a reason there's so many people trying to get to Jesus. They found help when they got in that room. They found something they couldn't find down the street when they got in that room. There was something that was going on bigger than a man. There was a crowd that they had to get through. Look what else it says about it. There was no room to see them. No, not so much as about the door. He couldn't even get in the door. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. There were so many people. Remember whenever Jesus, that woman, touched the hem of his garment? The disciples said, the people are pressing on you. How do you know who touched you? Tons of people touched you. He said, oh, this one was different. And there was a crowd. It was hard to get people in, but I see they had to carry the crowd. There was a covering that was keeping them from getting there. Here's what I'm trying to give you on the covering. There are things in people's life that has happened to them that they have a right to be upset about, that got them away from church and took them away from having any faith in church. But the problem is their faith was in the people in the church, not the one who died for the church. Okay, people are people. People will disappoint you. People will let you down. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. If you ever find a perfect church, do not join it. You will ruin it. People are sinners. We will mess up. We will do something wrong. But there's a Jesus, there's a God in heaven that will never let you down. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes there's a covering. Sometimes there's something against them they have in their heart. I've had different people give me just a ton of different reasons why they don't go to church anymore. So-and-so commented on this, and so-and-so did that, and this happened. And I will tell you, in my lifetime, I've been at this church for 26 years now, and I've seen a bunch of people come and go. And a lot of the people who left, they had a legitimate reason to be upset. They really did. But they didn't have a legitimate reason to walk away from God. Very, very, very few of them that I'm aware of that I still have a relationship with whatsoever that walked out those doors, they didn't go somewhere else and get plugged in. They went home. They did not get plugged in. There's something that could be on someone. They came to church and there's something that's covering them up. And you're going to have to tear that thing down and get them to Jesus. Now, by that, I'm not talking about being mean to somebody. You cannot bully someone to Jesus. Amen. That will never work with our tracks back there. We're not handing you the grim reaper that says death and saying Jesus loves you. I'm not saying that won't ever work. It's got the gospel in the side of it. It could work. But how easy is it? Would y'all attest that handing them smiles to people have been pretty easy, ain't it? And people are real receptive, especially in today's day and time, saying, there's a God, you know, Jesus loves you. Let me give you a smile today. That leads me to the next thing I see. Not only is there got to be some determination, but I see that when you get through this, if you have a desire and you have some determination, you know what you can do? You can make a difference. Who in here would like to make a difference in someone's life? Jude. Turn to the book of Jude with me, if you would. While you're turning, you want to make a difference in someone's life in a positive manner. You want to make a difference in someone's life that pushes them towards Jesus, not away from Jesus. You say, what would be an example of that? Back in our text verse, do you remember? As soon as Jesus looked at him and said, I've seen their faith, weren't there scoffers? Remember the scribes that sat there and said, who are you to say that he can do that? Who are you to say that he can walk through that? Here's what's going to happen in your life. Maybe you've never met Jesus before. Maybe you've gotten away from the things of God. And people, you'll come in and you'll try to get back to Jesus and there'll be so-and-so. They're going, you see who just walked in? Don't you know what they did? Don't you know what happened in their family? Don't you remember what they used to be like? Don't you remember that thing that they said? And as soon as you start trying to do something for God, here comes the criticism. And when you're trying to lead someone to God, you're trying to get someone to Jesus, you're trying to see someone obtain Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, no doubt there will be some criticism. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be down. But it is a fact. There are criticism. Jesus Christ's entire ministry was followed by critics. He wasn't a sinner. He was perfect. There will be criticism, but I'm telling you what, criticism has never stopped Jesus. Read through your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. He's working through his ministry, and there are critics all the way through it, and you will never find that criticism from someone over here stop Jesus from helping someone right there. And there will be critics, there will be criticism. People may say things, they'll say, oh, why are you even trying to lead that person to the Lord? Why are you even telling about Jesus? Don't you know they don't want that? Don't you know who they are? Don't you know what they've done? That's when you can say, don't you know who Jesus is? Have you read your Bible? There was a man, they couldn't bind him by chains. He was taking rocks and cutting himself, running around naked in a graveyard. Now, I really, really hope there is no one here this morning that has been running around naked in the graveyard. Not naked, naked, okay? In a graveyard this week, because that's weird. Don't do that no more. We've been talking about it. Don't do that. That's weird. There was something wrong with this guy. He was possessed by demons. Can you imagine being so possessed by demons you're breaking chains? Let me make that personal. Don't you know he had a mom and daddy? He may have had a wife. He may have had kids. They come up and say, what are you doing? I'm praying for daddy. Well, don't you know who your daddy is? Have you not seen your dad? Have you not seen the way he's a maniac. Why are you even praying for him? Why are you even trying for him? There's going to be criticism. But criticism from them has never stopped him. There will be critics that will come out and say, this will never work. This won't work. But I'm hey, Gabriel, you get saved this week? Hey, it still works. Amen. It still works. And we didn't do it. He didn't walk. It wasn't some new 10-step process to a better you. It was believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I see in Jude, we want to make, we have a desire, we have determination, but we want to make a difference. Look in the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude is written in a specific manner. I know it's only got one chapter in it, but it's got a lot in it. Now, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. And in the first three verses, skip down to verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He starts the beginning of this book. He says, I'm talking to the beloved. I'm talking to the born-again believers. And here's what I'm saying. I hope that you are earnestly contending for the faith. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you're going to have to start contending with your faith and stop pretending with your faith. Now, the next several verses all the way through 19, he speaks of those who have never actually been born again. Now, he mentions things that are very interesting that make them look like they're right, but they ain't got it. They're like the prophets of Baal. They were up on that mountain, and they were praying and cutting themselves and putting on a show, but they didn't know who Jesus was. So he deals with that, but verse 20, he picks back up talking to born-again believers. And if you want to make a difference, and somebody, who in here has a lost loved one you'd like to see born again? If you want to make a difference in their life, verse 20 says, but ye, again, he's talking to the born again believers, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're going to have to continue in what you started in. You say, what do you mean? You do not need a new anything. I know this is real simple, but I want to be clear. When you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, you got the ability to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Did you not? And there's a great high priest in there that can help in a time of need. Ain't that what the Bible says? You've got the Word of God that tells you how to live, how to do, how to act, what to do, what not to do. It's all right here. You do not need something new. If you want to make a difference, you're going to have to continue in what God's already done in you. Not only will you continue, but you've got to have compassion. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. Do you guys remember that message that Brother Joe Logan preached here on compassion? If you don't, you should go on Sermon Audio and look that up. Because I do not have time to re-preach it, and I've never heard it laid out better. But compassion, it's not evangelism. Compassion is seeing a man that cannot walk and banding together with other born-again believers saying, we're going to get him to Jesus because Jesus can help him. Compassion is seeing someone in their hurt and getting down in that hurt with them. And he said, if you have compassion, what will you do? You can make a difference. Now, this is not a trick question. Do you think those four guys made a difference in that in the paralyzed guy's life? They picked him up. They carried him. They said, there's just too many people in here. We can't get him. We brought him all this way. But you know what? I'm just tired. I've worked a lot this week. I think I'm just going to stay home. They got there and said, there's so much press around the door. I can't even get in the building. What are we going to do now? Surely one of them said, we could go down. He's in the building. What do you mean go down? Well, we could get up on the roof and tear it down and get him in there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? There's different people we know that we pray for. And like, seriously think about this, that are lost. And we know they are because we've talked to them. And we pray for them together. Can you imagine if we traveled down last week to Mount Sinai to hear Mark Stroud preach. And we got there. And there was no room left in that building. But we were so determined that if we could get him in there under the sound of the gospel and to meet Jesus, it would change his life. We said, you know what? We'll just climb up on the roof and get him down that way. Can you imagine that determination, that desire, that compassion to say, I'm going to hurt with him? Don't you know they were tired? They carried him up on the roof. Anybody ever put shingles on before? You ever carried shingles up a ladder? Carried heavy equipment. Now think about how many times you guys had to carry heavy equipment up on a roof. They carried dead weight, a man's body up on a roof. They had to get down in there and hurt with him. They had to have some compassion. If you got a lost loved one, they need your compassion more than they need your criticism. Stop expecting lost people to act saved. I expect saved people to act saved. Because you got Jesus Christ living inside your heart. Amen. The Bible says, be holy for I'm holy. Don't get uncomfortable. We're supposed to live that way. But it's time that we stop expecting lost people to act saved. And we have some compassion on their situation. There are some people in this room right now that you came from a broken home. There are some people in this room right now that your parents picked drugs over you. There are some people in this room right now that your parents picked alcohol over you. Situation hurt and over and over, and coming to that person saying, you know what, you're just lost cause. Ain't no hope for you. There is always hope when Jesus is involved. I don't care what situation it is. I don't care what they've been through. God is bigger. We got to have compassion. Sometimes you got to continue, you got to have compassion, but also I see some compelling that's necessary if you want to make a difference. Look at the next verse. And others. Save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. In today's day and time, they don't like this kind of preaching. All right? But if you've never met Jesus, you are not on your way to heaven. You're on a place that Jesus preached very much about, and it's called hell. You will spend forever in heaven, or you'll spend forever in hell. It said everlasting torments. It says everlasting life. If you have never been born again, if I could compel you this morning and say, do not go to hell for anybody, I would. That's my desire for you. I want to. It said saving with fear. There's people say, that preacher ought not preach about hell. He's scaring people. The Bible told him to. The Bible tells us, look at someone. And again, it's out of love. I do not want you to go to that place. There is nobody in this building I want to go to that place. God did not make it for you. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. It's enlarging itself because it was made to a specific size. It is not for you. You're not invited. But he did. God said, I go to prepare a place for you. And here's the comfort I want to give you. I hope that you have fear of what hell really is. And I hope that you have faith and hope in what heaven really is. Because it's real. Under our feet right now is a real place called hell. And when you walk through a graveyard and look at those tombstones, there, you will pass one occasion that someone went there. Forever, not because they were bad, because they rejected Jesus Christ. And if you want to make a difference in somebody's life, we've got to quit tiptoeing around the biblical facts that it's a real place. And it's time to quit playing games. I do not want anybody to go there. And from now on, after this week, Gabriel said he got born again, he ain't got to sit up at night saying, Mama, I don't want to go there. Guess what, buddy? You ain't going. I don't fear it for myself because I'm not going. I'm going to heaven. And you can go with me. You can go to heaven. And if it puts fear in you that I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, thanks be unto God. All you've got to do is come to Jesus and accept the gift He gave you. That's it. You don't have to work it. Look, it said in verse 12, immediately He got up. It's not 8 to 10 business days. When God does business, He does it right now. And he tells them, he said, if you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you want to continue in what I started in you. I'm talking to born-again believers this morning. If you've been saved, you've got to continue in that faith that God saved you by. Because if you're saved, it's by faith. Amen. You've got to continue in that. And then you've got to compel people and tell them there is a place called hell and there's a place called heaven. And I want you in heaven with me. And you're going to have compassion on people. I am not the guy who wants to stand up here and beat on you all morning and tell you how wrong you are. I'll let God do that. Here's what I want to tell you. There's a God in heaven that's better than your wrong. He's got more grace than you've got sin. He said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's the God I'm telling you about. I'm not going to sit up here and leave you with a question and not give you an answer. If you want to make a difference, pick Jesus. Go with Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Also, go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to tell y'all a real embarrassing moment for me. I'm going to help the other preachers keep us all humble. Y'all ready? I have quoted this verse right here at least to four different preachers that I know of over the last couple weeks, and I kept quoting it as John chapter 4. And it's not John chapter 4. It's Matthew chapter 9. And none of them corrected me. They probably sat there and said, what an idiot. Stay humble. It's okay. I mean, I did it to Joel Logan. He didn't tell me. He let me be dumb. I did Davy Shelton, Darren Waldrop. They just look at me like, bless his heart. You want to make a difference in someone's life? Let me tell you what God said. Look here at the end of this verse, end of this chapter. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'm telling you this morning, I don't know what you have in your life, but Jesus can take care of it. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with, what's that next word? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the, what's that next word? Laborers. Say it with me. Laborers are few. Now, it does not say the funds are few. Y'all read that? It does not say we would reach more people if we had more money. It doesn't say the intellect is few. If we had more education and we put it in more people, we could get more people. It says the laborers are few. Let me tell you what's missing in America's church right here in the Bible Belt. Laborers. Laborers. Here's what's happened over the last 50 to 60 years. We've went to pouring money into overseas missions to soothe our conscience. Let me just take a pause. I am 100% behind overseas worldwide missions. It is biblical. It is correct for a church to do it. If a church will do it, God will bless it. But if we don't get to laboring here, we're going to lose a generation to support the laboring out there. If you want to make a difference, you're going to have to get to work. You're going to have to labor. Now, I understand that in my generation, that's a very, very, very scary word. And we need our safe place when we hear the word labor. But it will not kill you. You will pass out first. It will be okay. We need laborers. Now, notice what else it says. Then say to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenty. He said, it's ready. They're right there. You just got to go labor. It's right there ready. You just got to go get them. Talked to a guy this week. He had VBS at their church last week. They had like 200 kids each night. Wonderful thing. The building is about the same size as ours. Can you imagine having 200 kids in here all week long? Josh, you thought you had a lot in your class. 200 kids. I'd be checking out. I'd be like, bye. Dalton said he wanted to do it. And we was talking, and he said, honestly, I'm a little disappointed that we only had one saved. I said, heaven wasn't. Heaven's not disappointed. Let me say that right for you. I thank God that he saved one. I thank God that he saved two right here. Heaven's not disappointed. Heaven's not ready to turn in the papers and say we're done. Heaven said, you labored and it was plenteous and I gave fruit for it. This week, at this church, that there's only 52 people here this morning. This week, at this church, two people were born again. That's a big deal. You know why? Because we labored. You like what's been going on this week? Don't wait till next summer. This ain't a one-week venture. We got to continue. We've got to have compassion. We've got to compel. We've got to continue because the labors are what? Few. But the harvest, it's plenteous. They're waiting on somebody to tell them about Jesus. There are people all over the world right now, all over Henderson County right now, 120,000 people in our county, all over it, waiting for a solution to all the problems they're facing. They're trying to find it in alcohol. They're trying to find it in drugs. On the street Ashley and I live on, there was a 25-year-old boy that OD'd just two nights ago. You know why? He was looking for what he needed in a pill when he wasn't looking for what he needed in Jesus. You will never, ever, ever find what Jesus can do somewhere else. It only comes from him. And we need some laborers. Do you want to see your loved one saved? You don't have to labor. You want to see your church family saved? Yeah, I said it. You don't have to labor. You know, the two kids that got saved this week are out of our church. I'm telling you what, that makes my day. We labored and God gave the increase. And then lastly, and I'm done, this won't take long. You've got to have desire. You've got to have determination. You will make a difference. Let me tell you what you're going to see. You will see deliverance. Every single time, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to give you comfort this morning. You will never meet someone who doesn't need Jesus. You will never, ever, 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 ever give someone the gospel. It can't change their life. If you've been saving here over 30 years, would you just slip up your hand real quick? When you hear what Jesus did for you, don't that do something for you? Has that old story, has it got old? Are you tired of hearing that Jesus came down and gave himself no reputation, put up a form of a servant, became a man, and laid down his life for you? That's a big deal. And when you give that to somebody else today, this week, God gave deliverance to two people in this church. You know why? Because there were some people that had a desire. You say, can you show me where you've ever seen this work? You know, there were some people that had a desire to have a VBS this week. And there was some determination it was going to go well. Look at all this decorations. I stacked all these myself. See? I stacked them all myself. Determination. People coming in here preparing. You know what happened different this year at VBS than anyone I've ever been at this church? And I've been at all we've done my life. There was about 30 people here working every night. And they were laboring the whole time. There wasn't clicks over here gossiping and clicks over here gossiping and clicks over here gossiping. We've had that in the past. It's okay. It's the truth. The Bible tells us walk honestly. It happened. Everyone was laboring. There was determination to do this thing right. Do you know why we did this week? Because we wanted to make a difference in somebody's life. And we went to these kids and we had compassion on them. You know, not every kid that showed up this week has a great home life. You understand what we're doing tonight? We're at the children's home coming up. Do you know why they're living in a children's home? They don't get to live with their mom and dad. I am blessed beyond measure to have grew up in a home with my two siblings and my mom and my dad. That's rare in today's day and time. I say I had a mom and a dad my whole life the way that God intended it. I'm blessed for that. And tonight we're having compassion. We've done it all week. On about 30 kids that don't have that. We taught our kids, you know, you can have fun and love on people. And we had that penny offering and they'd shout and they'd have fun. And Gavin was wearing some wig and Mark was wearing some wig running around. It was great. They looked like two buffoons. I thought Gavin was about to come off the top ropes on somebody, WWE, with the way he looked. We had fun. We made a difference in some kids' lives this week. Let me tell you something else. We had about 50 kids every night. Two of them got born again. Some of them are already saved. But every other one got a seed planted this week. Because there were laborers that made a difference. And you know what we saw for two of them this week? We saw deliverance. Gabriel, how many times have you and I sat down and talked about being saved? You think, man, I don't know, three, four, five, three. Talk to your mom, talk to your dad, talk to Nathan, talk to Dalton, talk to Joel Logan, talk to Darren. But the other night, you talked to Jesus. And he got deliverance. You say, how do you know it works? I just watched it. I just watched it. Who in here would like to see your loved ones get saved? Well, let me tell you what, you're going to have a desire, you're going to have some determination, you're going to have to make a difference, and then you're going to see God give some deliverance every single time. That's the way it works. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. God, would you touch each and every heart in the building? God, would you just help us to be what